Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast on a Victory Tuesday for one of us. I'm John Ledyard from the Draft Network, along with Trevor Sikkema, Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan extraordinaire, also from the Draft Network. Did you like that introduction, Trevor? Did you feel like that?
Excuse me, sir. I am a journalist. I am not a fan. I do not have one way or the other whether the team wins or loses.
Oh, yes. Right. Yes. Yeah. Same.
The journalistic code.
Same. Very much just a journalist. No rooting interest here.
That game
whatsoever.
Was stupid.
It was fun, okay. Though, wasn't it? I mean, I know the result wasn't, but like it was a fun game. Like, if you were a neutral fan, you would have enjoyed that game, right?
Look, man, I don't know because I don't know. I don't know how to put myself in that seat because I was just hella annoyed the whole time. So
because the Bucs were, in my opinion, better and just.
Yeah, no question. No question. Right. And the Ryan Fitzpatrick threw three interceptions on three straight passes at one point in the game.
Yeah. And really, honestly, and
just so annoying.
Thoughts. I didn't think. I mean, they weren't really on him. Like, they weren't really his fault. I mean, the Bostic tip ball.
Two of them were.
The Bostic tip ball wasn't the first one. That should have been picked up. That was on the right tackle. He blew it, and Fitzpatrick's expecting that to be picked up. Watt was edge, and he came inside. And so that wasn't. I wouldn't put that one on him at all. And then
I don't either.
The one where he overthrew Evans should have taken his route deeper. Once they showed the all 22 angle,
he stopped in his route.
I still think he would have overshot him. It would have. I don't think it was an accurate throw per se, but it looked really bad because Evans literally stopped his route. He looked like confused. I don't know why or what happened, but yeah, I mean the route. He was expecting him to bend that underneath John Davis, and he just didn't. And then the one in the end zone was Dan McCullers hits his arm, or at least keeps him from falling all the way through because he owns Ryan Jensen, which if you ever thought I would say Dan McCullers owned anyone. But that's why the ball like got high on him and he overthrew Rodgers is because McCullers.
That was bad. That was a bad one.
It was the whole – I mean, it was the Steelers making a couple opportunistic plays, and – that was it. I mean, honestly, Fitzpatrick's worst plays were on the last Bucs drive, I thought, when he threw two passes it should have been. Because he had Evans down the sideline. Evans ran by Hayden. I mean, Hayden, he just doesn't have that speed.
Yeah.
And late in the game, he put that one in, and Hayden dropped an interception because he underthrew it, but it should have been at least a big play with the safety.
Yeah, I thought the whole game the Bucs basically had – I don't know exactly what they wanted, but like enough of what they wanted.
Oh yeah, I mean anybody
like could have won that game.
Anybody who can throw the ball at all is going to have everything they want. I mean that's just the way it's going to be. I mean the Steelers secondary, it's the worst secondary in the league. So you're anybody who can throw it, and the last two teams they've played can definitely throw it.
So is Brent Grimes. Apparently he can't play.
Bro, last night didn't look good though, right?
Might be cooked. That was
it. Might be the end.
I mean, because I don't really know what the problem is. That what do you do with him? Because you've got a secondary full of guys who play better with physicality and bump and run and man coverage and press coverage, and then Brent Grimes.
Right.
And it's
trade him to us.
And they trade and they tout. All right, Le'Veon Bell, straight up. I'll start the paperwork.
They tout
Brent Grimes as like you know the best corner on the team because I guess he kind of is, but. The way that he thrives is so schematically different than every single other corner on the roster. So they're almost in like this giant limbo of what to do. They don't really know what to do here.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't pretty, for sure.
It was a stupid game. It was stupid.
The whole game was stupid. I mean, the Steelers definitely made some plays on offense. Like, I don't want to make it sound like the whole thing was like, luck for them, but like defensively, absolutely. I mean, Godwin dropped a touchdown. I know Hayden was in pretty good coverage, but that was a great throw by Fitzpatrick. The first one he dropped,
right? Hit your hands,
right?
Godwin's got to catch it.
The second one hit his hands too. I don't know if he was in the end zone on the second one. The third down shot. So it would have been a fourth and inches type of situation for them at least. But he dropped that one, but there were also got a lot of guys ripping at his arms, and I mean he had a brutal game. I know he ended up catching one late, but. Yeah,
That was the first game in which Chris Godwin has been relied upon, like, heavily.
Right.
and it hasn't paid off like big time.
Right.
So,
well,
for those who are Chris Godwin Hive, who are listening to the podcast, he's going to be fine.
We liked him too. Yeah. I mean, but I think that his best days are ahead.
You have an 80 for me yet? I haven't checked my DMs.
I have everything picked. It's, let's just say it's under construction and will be in your.
What are you? You're photoshopping it?
And will be in your inbox shortly.
Oh my god! I didn't know it was going to be that kind of operation. Oh,
it's going to be. It's going to be beautiful. You got to go all out, man. We play once every 4 years, right? So, hey,
yeah,
you got to take advantage of it, man. By the time the next time the Steelers and Bucks play, you may have disowned me. You never know.
Hopefully it's a lot sooner than that.
Well said. All right, today on the podcast, we are going to talk about wide receivers, and we're going to talk about the college football wide receiver, a great class, really, and how it's lived up to expectations and maybe in a couple different ways failed to live up to expectations so far this season. But first, Locked On NFL is becoming everyone's favorite daily national NFL podcast. The ratings through the roof for this show, guys, just as of late, honestly. It's just picked up so much, and people are really starting to realize this is a great show. Monday, it's the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesday's former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joins Matt Williamson. Wednesday is Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. Thursdays, it is the great Mike Sando of ESPN. And Friday, you get Matt's picks on the game, games ahead on Sunday. And the layout of the show is great, obviously. The guests are terrific. The back and forth. Matt is just a true professional. He does an outstanding job with that podcast. So really, would definitely encourage you guys to listen to it and to check out that Locked On NFL podcast each week. All right, Trevor, the wide receiver group has undergone some changes. You snuck in to the positional rankings and change things
overnight,
which I give you a lot of credit. I didn't think you would do that midseason, but here you are, 4 weeks into the college football season, and you're bumping our Sega Whiteside, who I don't think was in your top 10, right? All the way to number two.
Yeah, he's good. He's really good, man.
He's good.
Hey, he's kind of. Obviously, I think that there's certain limitations with Whiteside. I mean, I kind of went into the season joking around, saying like, "Oh, he's kind of almost too stiff to be a wide receiver." But I really don't. I mean, I think some of those limitations of flexibility are still there, but everything else around his game has just been completely opened my eyes for sure. I mean, the fact that he does do so well with 50-50 balls, how he basically is owning every single defensive back in the Pac-12 at will, how he releases off the line of scrimmage, the feet that he has for a big man, the fact that he's always catching the ball with his hands, he's made a conscious effort to do that, really making the most out of his length and his size. So he truly is, when you talk about a big body of his, 6'4", 6'3", 225 pounds, he's a guy who's getting every inch and every pound of that when he goes up for catches, which is a really big deal. And so I think that I wrote this earlier this week, I believe I wrote it this weekend, that there's a lot of Marcus Colston to his game. And
very accurate.
People don't remember good Marcus Colston, but when Marcus Colston was doing his thing with the Saints and Drew Brees, that was truly one of the best quarterback wide receiver duos in the NFL. And so if Arcega Whiteside has the traits and the tendencies to be something like Marcus Colston, and he can go to like a quarterback as solidified as like a Drew Brees for a team, you could be talking about the same kind of combination, because he is really, really hard to stop in ways that are covetable for the NFL. And so that's why, yeah, I moved him all the way up to wide receiver two. And he is the highlight of a wide receiver class that is just really impressing me right now, at the top and with depth.
Oh my goodness, yeah, it's a loaded group for sure. It's been a lot of fun. I like Arcega Whiteside as well, not number two overall amongst the wide receivers. I don't like him that much, but I agree. Like he definitely nuances in his releases and ability to win without great speed in the vertical game. Especially fade routes, obviously, very intriguing for sure. I don't know if I've ever seen a wide receiver play as much like a basketball player as Arcega Whiteside.
Yeah.
Just literally boxes guys out, arm bars them down, and then like outreaches them still without jumping a lot. That is still just not a big jumper, but, It's still, he's fun to watch for sure. So I am with you in the fandom. You're a little higher than I would be on him, but still like him. The Ole Miss guys, man. I thought they lit up Alabama, and I know it didn't show up that way statistically, but I watched that game and I thought they were open consistently. And Tiamu was either under pressure and couldn't get them the ball, or he just wasn't accurate in that game. You know, he's rattled early and just wasn't accurate throughout the game. I think they've been absolutely sensational. I mean, AJ Brown has been, to me, he showed better quickness in his routes, and I know he's still working from the slot, still not a lot of press coverage. I definitely still have questions, but 26 catches, 381 yards, 3 touchdowns. DK Metcalf has been a monster, 20.5 yards per catch, 368 yards receiving, and 4 scores already this year.
And it's not even just the stats. Like, no, we've seen the play. Right. Like, he's at full stride, reaching out with one hand, grabbing the ball, reeling it in. Like,
he's made Metcalf some absolutely
unbelievable.
Plays. Yeah. It's funny to me, like, that people think AJ Brown is better. Like, I'm kind of blown away by that. Like, I don't know if AJ Brown's better at anything. Maybe after the catch, which I like AJ Brown. And I don't even dislike AJ Brown. I'm higher on him than any of you guys were coming into the year.
Still are, apparently.
Yeah, he's all the way down to wide receiver 9 for you. I think he's looked good this season, to be honest. I do.
I do too. Limitations? Yes. I think AJ Brown being wide receiver 9 is a testament to what I think about the class. Right. Honestly.
Right. And DeMarcus Lodge has been great at getting open, and Haven had some, I mean, he hurdled a guy like who was standing. It was unbelievable. I mean, I think he's going to test extremely well. Super talented, man. He just doesn't catch the ball consistently, and then he makes amazing catches. So that is the one area of his game. I feel like if he caught the ball consistently, he'd be a round one lock. But Will Fuller went in round one, and he's probably a little faster than Lodge a little bit, but Lodge can win vertically. He gets behind teams. He killed Kent State. He just dropped a sure long touchdown, and I mean, I know it's Kent State, and all these guys ate against Kent State. Even Dawson Knox finally got in the act. Dawson Knox had one catch for 6 yards through the first 3 weeks of the season, and it wasn't even like his fault. Like, he was playing great. They just don't throw him the ball. Like, why would you? I mean, they have 4 wide receivers. Braylon Sanders counting him, the underclassman. You know, you have a bunch of wide receivers. The true sophomore. You have a bunch of these guys gonna have first round potential. So I mean, it's kind of hard to, like, okay, let's throw a couple to your tight end when people are open all the time. Somebody's going to suffer, I think, and that's been Knox a little bit this season. But he got 2 catches for 79 yards on the same drive for Ole Miss last week against Kent State. Man,
it's
some
like
nice
they,
routes.
It's like they check their Dawson Knox box. All right, we don't got to throw it to him anymore. Thank God.
There we go. He's good for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, people will shut up.
People being us, because we have tight end.
Because no one else knows Dawson Knox, apparently.
But I am totally all about the Ole Miss trio right now. I mean, yes, I think AJ Brown's got some limitations. I want to see how all of them test. But to me, Metcalf's just been a monster. And Lodge has a game that works in the NFL. Like, he is nuanced. He can make plays after the catch, even though he does not get many manufactured touches. He can win vertically and find the football. He makes plays along the boundary with unbelievable body control all the time. I love his game. I just wish he caught the ball more consistently, and I'm not sure it's an issue that goes away. I'm fine with drops if you can make enough positive plays to make up for it. I can live with them. So that may be where we're at with DeMarcus Lodge's evaluation, is we just have to think about him in those terms. How about the South Carolina group? I mean, they are getting destroyed in terms of their draft stock by Jake Bentley. I don't know. Have you seen any South Carolina? Did you watch Georgia?
I watched early on the early parts of the season, but I haven't over the last couple of weeks. But I did see you. I did see you kind of like tweet about it, because I feel like you went back and watched a little bit of them recently, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating to watch. You know, Deebo Samuel's open consistently and doesn't get the football, and Bentley just wants to throw middle of the field all the time, it feels like, and Shai Smith plays in the slot, and so he's actually outproducing those guys in a lot of ways, and it's just kind of, it's not been good for their draft stock for sure. I mean, this season, it's almost ridiculous, but Bryan Edwards, 14 catches, 211 yards. He does have 3 touchdowns, one of which he caught on a long play from Deebo Samuel. So, or it wasn't long.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So it wasn't even Bentley throwing the ball. He's been okay in terms of production, but hasn't had any like takeover games. And he's made a lot of play. Like when they played Georgia, he made a lot to run after the catch plays that accumulated a lot of his yardage. And, you know, Shai Smith's got 11 catches for 191 yards. He's averaging over two more yards per catch than Brian Edwards. So he's been one of the main targets. Deebo has 20 catches, 145 yards. He's averaging 7.3 yards per catch. He beat DeAndre Baker deep, and they don't throw him the football. And Bentley just doesn't want to throw outside down the field, and it's been an issue for this offense, and it's frustrating because these guys are capable of a lot more. Now, can Deebo be better? Can Edwards be better? Yes, I think they can be, but not been the start that I certainly hope to see from those guys. So, disappointing. How about Calvin Harmon? What do you see from him?
Well, obviously, they had the week off with the hurricane. So right. It was kind of right. Like when I was a couple, when did I do this? Was it last week, the week before? No, it was last week. I did a kind of like a five stats that I wouldn't have believed going into week three of the college football season or whatever it is, week four. And Kelvin Harmon wasn't even in the top 50 in receiving. Now, I understand that he lost a week, but, like, I even looked at averages, like, the first 2 weeks included. So, like, he should have been high up there. And he wasn't even in the top 50 nationally of yards per game. I don't believe in, like, yards per catch or, like, anything like that. He had a really big week, really big bounce back week in week four. I think he had 6 catches, 150 yards. He didn't get a touchdown, but he caught a long bomb that, I mean, he kind of had to dive for the catch, and he got stopped at the 2-yard line. So it's basically like, okay, he's fine. So, but it was good. It was a good bounce back because I had not heard a lot of Kelvin Harmon. And man, in this wide receiver class, like I hate to say it, but it really is becoming a "what have you done for me lately" kind of a thing. Because, and it's not even against the subjects necessarily themselves. I just think the class as a whole, the prospects around them, are doing so well. We're seeing so many big plays from other wide receivers around the country that if you go a couple of weeks and don't showcase your skill, it's almost like, wow, you're getting enamored with these other guys that are showcasing their skill at NFL levels. And so Harmon kind of got back on track. I posted that article this morning. This is Tuesday morning, I think. It's all running together.
Correct.
It's all running together for me at this point. But yeah, I posted that this morning, how Kelvin Harmon is absolutely back on track, how he reminded you that he does have NFL traits. He is so comfortable on the outside as an outside wide receiver, running those kinds of routes, having that kind of responsibility. He still has the awkward jumping, man. It's like Harmon really wants to high point every ball, but like he jumps.
It's like a breadbasket catch.
Yeah, it's like so weird. Like he jumps just to breadbasket, and I'm like, dude, come on. And actually, so right now, I had Kelvin Harmon as my wide receiver 1 before I redid my rankings. So that was my preseason rankings. Okay. Kelvin Harmon was wide receiver 1.
And then came to the light.
And I have, yes, now DK Metcalf is everyone's consensus number 1, blah, blah, blah. Shut up. don't be that guy on a Tuesday morning, John.
Will not be.
This podcast.
What if I am it on every morning?
It'll be par for the course. But the reason why I have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside above Kelvin Harmon is because Arcega-Whiteside just utilizes his size more consistently. And if Kelvin Harmon did that, I would be so much more comfortable with him getting the most of the things and the flashes that I see from him at the NFL level. But he just doesn't. And look, I guess it's kind of okay because he still wins. Like, he's still good. I just want him to be his best. And when you are jumping just to, like you said, bring everything into your chest, that's just not ideal. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Like, you'll get it done against college DBs, but you're going to learn it's not ideal in the NFL because that ball's going to get either batted away or you're going to get pushed or something, and it's going to become harder to do that kinds of stuff if that's your tendencies. Arcega-Whiteside is different. If that ball goes up in the air, he's catching with his hands. Even if it's at his chest, Arcega-Whiteside most of the time
he's tries got to catch monster hands.
So monster hands. That's why Arcega-Whiteside is above a guy like Kelvin Harmon, even though they kind of have similar skill sets. And even though I think that Harmon kind of gets separation a little bit better on the outside than Arcega-Whiteside does due to better flexibility, I think, in his movements and his routes. But you got to be able to make the most out of your size when you're a big wide receiver, especially on the outside. So,
Locked On NBA never went away and is still here for you every day. Locked On NBA is your daily national NBA podcast. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long with daily 30 minutes on everything going on in the NBA. Follow for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. One of the crazy things about this class to me, Trevor, is that I don't really feel like anybody is like a lock to be an NFL stud other than Metcalf to me. I mean, not like a stud is a bad way to say it. Like a star. Like, I think Metcalf has star potential for the NBA, for the NFL. But I look at the rest of this group and I say, okay, you mentioned Arcega Whiteside and Calvin Harmon. I think that's a good point. Like, they play pretty similar, and Arcega Whiteside definitely does some things better, and but are either great athletes. Like, do you worry about speed from both of them? Do you worry about separation ability and a full route tree from both of them? Do you worry about it from A.J. Brown, especially at the line of scrimmage with press coverage? We talked about Lodge and the drops being an issue. Brian Edwards, can he separate in his routes? Can he win vertically? Is speed an issue for a lot of these guys? You know, I think in N'Keal Harry, we've talked, I mean, N'Keal Harry got kind of shut down by Washington, and he was missed a couple times too, so I don't want to make more of it than what it is, but you know, that was the best corner group he'll face all year, and he had 5 catches for 20 yards. And I thought he just wasn't explosive, and I just kept coming back to that. I just don't think he looks explosive. Is he hard to bring down? Is he savvy in the open field? Yeah, he's even elusive, but explosive athletic traits, I'm just not sure that I see those with him. So, you know, everybody to me has some significant question marks, where the order of this group will depend a good bit on testing, and not that every aspect of testing, but you know, somebody's going to bomb testing. It happens every year. A guy that we're high on bombs testing. And
Auden Tate, RIP.
There you go. And again, he had a good game. So, but like, that's the prototype, right? Like, big bodied physical receivers. We were talking about Auden Tate having first, second round potential until he tested horrendously. So, and still thought he went too late. And I think he's starting to prove that, but you know, we're that kind of spot where it's like, all these guys have significant questions. And even though we joke around about Calvin Ridley and everything, he still ran 4.4 and testing matters, but it matters for what you can, the context of what you show on tape. And, you know, there was, to me, I wasn't concerned about Calvin Ridley's athleticism on tape, you know, so it wasn't a big deal to me. But like, I do wonder how athletic Calvin Harmon is and AJ Brown is and Arcega Whiteside is and even sure. Riley Ridley, who I like a lot. And I wrote about today, I'm going to write about today for the Draft Network. You know, I think that all those guys and N'Keal Harry, like, I love them. I love their traits, you know, but I wonder about speed for almost all these guys, you know, Brian Edwards included. Somebody's going to really impress me and jump up my board in that area because they checked a box that I wasn't sure they could check, and somebody isn't, and maybe multiple guys won't. And so it's just going to be a very fluid situation because there is that big question mark is like how, but the question mark for most of these guys to me is how athletic are they?
Well, I think that's why you like Lodge so much, right? Because he in a class where
and why athleticism, you like Richards probably, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. So
right. Yeah, exactly. Right. If Lodge could catch the ball consistently, I would feel like he's a first round guy. I mean, I think he's that good of a player. I've seen him toast Greedy Williams. If he's the best corner in college football, and by the way, they play again this weekend, and I cannot wait. That is the matchup to watch, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow on the podcast. But, you know, I just think that he's shown a ton on tape. Just catch the ball consistently. It's such an issue for him.
There are a lot of big outside wide receivers in this class.
Yes, but right.
The one who is going to show up in Indianapolis and put a good time down to their tape, I think you're right, has a chance to kind of shuffle things up late in the draft season, perhaps get themselves drafted a little bit higher than their classmates, if you will.
Right. Two things I want to touch on before we wrap up quickly. Colin Johnson moves to wide receiver 6 for you. I don't think he was in your top 10, if I remember correctly.
He was not.
He's not in any of our top 10s except yours now. I know he had the big game recently. What do you see that you like about Colin Johnson?
I'm doing a 5-play prospect on Colin Johnson. I will go deep into him on Wednesday, but I'll just say that when you can do some of the things that he does at the size that he does, you got to take notice. Whether you have necessarily the top end athleticism or straight speed that you want, or not, he displays a lot of NFL potential in what he does.
How about your son, Anthony Ratliff Williams? He had a great. He was on You Got Moss last night. I don't know if you saw it because you were at the game.
Oh, I didn't get to see it.
Oh yeah, he was on You Got Mossed. He went up and just absolutely ripped the ball away from some dude in their last game.
He's good, man. He's really good.
He is. 11 catches, 230 yards, and a totally anemic team. He's averaging almost 21 yards per catch.
Yeah, no, he's good, man. And like you said, the reason why he was so high in my rankings, and again, like I moved him down in my rankings. It's not really because of him. It's because some other guys are intriguing me a lot that I'm moving up and that I'd be higher on this right now. But it's because in this class, I thought he separated with his athleticism. I thought that he's a guy who, again, we went into this offseason and I said, he's just he's a natural athlete. And there are a couple of guys who I've looked at in this class so far that have either played different positions or do different things in the football field. Like they can line up Ratliff Williams at kick returner, punt returner, like getting handoffs out of the backfield. They've had him do like wide receiver handoffs to where like he's throwing the ball and he even looks natural doing that. And it's just anytime you can do that, it helps. It helps my evaluation for you because it means that the more I put on your plate, the more natural you're going to be with it. And when you have the athleticism that he does, pairing that with how natural you could be as a football player in general, that really helps in a combination for what I think that you can learn and how well you can learn at the next level. And so that's why Ratliff Williams was definitely a guy who really intrigued me going into the season. Still does. I still like him. I really do.
I also like him, and I've seen a little bit this season, and I have been pretty impressed. So maybe he might be moving up my rankings at some point as well. Very, very tough wide receiver group to crack, though, no doubt about that. Last guy we'll touch on, Marquise Brown.
Yes.
Marquise Brown, Hollywood. 5'10", 160. We know he's fast, but man, that's tiny. And even if he comes in at like 175, which is 15 pounds over his listed weight, possible. Is that like, I mean, you know, what's the ceiling here? Like what? I mean, I know everybody's going to want to talk about Tyreek Hill, but Hill is a pretty compact dude, and he's listed 5'10", 185. That's 25 pounds more than what Marquise Brown's listed at. I'm not sure what, like, people mock him in round one, and does that happen? Do, like, 5'10", 160-pound wide receivers, even 170-pound, do they go round one? Is that a thing?
Yeah, probably.
It just feels like people are ignoring the fact that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, probably not. I think it all depends, obviously, what you can do with this speed. If he's just a deep threat guy, no, you're obviously not picking him very high. I don't really think he's going to go in the first round at all just because of his speed, like you said. But if you can – or sorry, because of his size. But if you can get the most out of his speed, like as a slot guy over the middle, like as a quick hit guy, like all that kind of stuff, like if his feet are as elite as his deep speed, you know, then you're talking – I mean, you are. You're talking about a – speed, compact, mismatch kind of player that you could play almost all over the field. Now, him being 160 pounds is a problem.
Right.
You're not going to draft like a guy super high that's 160 pounds, but speed can't teach it, right? And so like if you have it in multiple ways, if you have speed down the field, if you have speed across the middle, in short area and in long distances, you're going to play in the league. So
right. Yep.
That's what I think.
Absolutely true. I think he will play in the league. He can be effective in certain roles for sure. Do I think he's in the conversation for best receiver in this class? No way. I can't get there. Too many drops.
No, I'm not there either. I'm not there.
Polished enough as a route runner, and yeah, too limited. Okay, there you go. There's our thoughts on the wide receiver class and what we think has been a hot start to the season for most of that group. Not all of them, but most of them. Looking forward to continuing to evaluate that group tomorrow. We'll talk about the games that are coming up this weekend. You'll have a five-play prospect on Colin Johnson, and
yes.
I'll be writing about Riley Ridley from Georgia. So we're gonna have wide receiver content coming out on the site this week as well, which should be fun. Tomorrow we're gonna talk about the games upcoming for this weekend in college football. It'll be a lot of fun. Thursday we'll pick the NFL games. Friday the Super Show. So we have a great week lined up for you on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.